this anyway, just for kicks. Sam.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Tales from the Air podcast. I am your host, Rob Johnson. We are on take 2 today of the podcast, technically take 3. I recorded this last night, listened to it this morning, and thought, why in the world did I record this last night? I sounded exhausted. And so, re-recorded, was going great, listened to it again, and I had a coughing fit where I paused the audio. It never picked back up when I came back from my coughing fit. So, take 3. I feel good about this one. At any rate, welcome. It is January 15th, and as I said before, this is episode 2. Of the Tales from the Air podcast. A couple housekeeping items before we get into the content of today's podcast. First and foremost, I want to recognize and acknowledge those dealing with the wildfires in the Los Angeles area. My wife and I have family and friends in the area, and our thoughts and prayers continue to be with all those impacted by the fires, and with those working to fight the fires as well. Second item, a correction from last episode. I misspoke, and I referenced the Dwight Yoakam album as Second Heart, and it's actually Second Hand Heart. So I wanted to make that correction. And so with that, we'll move into the content for today. So I put a lot of thought into how I wanted to break down the start of air travel. And I decided what I would do for today's episode is talk about the things that go into planning your trip. Now, for some of you veterans out there who are road warriors and have been traveling for years and years, this is nothing for you. It's second nature. For those of you that travel once or twice a year or once every 2 or 3 years, there's some nuances there that you may have forgotten about, you may not have employed. So I wanted to speak to that today and kind of walk through some of those. And even for those seasoned travelers, there may be some things you pick up on. So we're really going to take you through the planning period all the way through getting through security. And then we'll pick up from there on the next episode. Which will air on February 1st. So, with that being said, it's the planning part for some, they don't like it. They don't enjoy it because they feel like there's things they miss or it's too overwhelming. And so they tend to stay in their lane when it comes to traveling. They may even leverage friends and family with advice, but it doesn't need to be as scary as some people make it out to be. So I'm hoping to help with that a little bit today. And let's start out with a scenario just to kick things off. Let's say you're planning a trip out to Los Angeles, and you're going to do all kinds of different things out there, and you're trying to figure out, where do we fly into? Well, most people would say, I'm going to fly into LAX. It's right there. And then others would say, well, I don't know. Does that make the most sense? And, looking at options, especially going to a city like Los Angeles, I would even argue New York, Chicago, Dallas, good to think about what you'll be doing and where you need to travel into, and which airline you'll be using, because that's all a factor. In Los Angeles, there are 6 airports that service the Los Angeles area, and I'm excluding San Diego. So a lot of options. There may be some that are better for you depending on where you're traveling from. But, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to kind of dig in and do your research. The good news is most locations don't have 6 options in a region to choose from. But again, the research is really important. So the one thing people look at always with air travel is the price. And by some reports, air travel has gone up 25% year over year. And all you have to do is go out and look at a flight that, you know, not that long ago was significantly less expensive than it is today. So air travel has gotten more expensive. All the more reason to do your research and plan to try to find that good price. So when you look at that initial price, that's just the start. You need to factor in all the other fees that go along with it. You have baggage fees. You have taxes. You have airport fees and things of that nature. So that ticket that may start out at $100 can grow pretty quick depending upon which airline you're traveling on, depending upon how many checked bags you have, all kinds of different factors. So really look at that entire picture as you're doing your evaluations. The other thing you want to look at too, to try to save you some money, is the time of day when you fly can be a factor, as well as the route that you take. There could be some savings on the route that you travel. So again, a lot of factors to look at. So let's start with kind of breaking down some of the airlines, and you know, most of them pretty straightforward with what you're paying. You see the fare, and then you're able to break down which class of service you want on the plane, and then you have your total. And there you go. You're done. They're very clear and upfront with their baggage fees, or if it's like Southwest, they don't have baggage fees. So it's one of those things you're really able to look at and get a good picture of quickly. Some budget airlines, you want to look a little closer because they have fees for carry-on luggage. They may allow one personal item that needs to meet a certain size, like a backpack or something like that. Then you have fees for where you sit, not just a first class type seat, but for an aisle versus a middle seat or a window versus a middle seat. So you want to look at that. Different rows of the plane will have different price points as well. You may have to pay for snacks, pay for Wi-Fi, all kinds of different fees. Now, for the very budget conscious person, a airline like that could be perfect. They know what they're getting, they travel very light, and they're able to spend very little money to get to their destination. For others, they can get drawn in by that initial low fee and then have a little bit of sticker shock once they see that final total. So staying on that budget theme, there's a lot of third-party sites out there that will offer bundles, or they'll offer heavily discounted airfares because they have negotiated with the airlines on certain seats. Those also can be a great option if you're traveling on a budget and want to save money. A word of caution for those sites is, if there is a change of plans or if the flight gets canceled, you may have to deal with the third-party customer service as opposed to the airline's customer service. There may also be a lot of fine print in there that states, unless, you know, a flight is canceled due to mechanical issues or weather, things of that nature, you don't get your money back. So you may book a flight, your plans may change, and you may be out whatever you paid. So just be aware of the fine print and understand kind of what you're getting into if you leverage one of those sites. Again, could be a great option for you. Just be aware of it. So I mentioned before the routes and looking at the different options, which can affect price. It can affect the time. For me personally, I try to take a direct flight whenever I can. So that means if I'm going to Seattle, I'm going to try to find an airline where I can fly directly from Kansas City to Seattle. I don't want to have to stop unless I absolutely have to. And there's occasions where you don't have an option. And, you know, the smaller the city, the smaller the airport, the fewer options you're going to have. I pulled down some numbers just to give you a sample of what that looks like. Omaha, Nebraska, for example, has 33 direct flights a day. Now, that's not 33 different cities that they travel to directly a day, 33 different flights. So 10 of those could be to Denver or to Las Vegas, what have you. Kansas City has a little less than double that, 61 direct flights a day. Then you go to a city like Dallas, where they have two large airports that service the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Two airlines, major airlines, have their hubs in Dallas, Southwest at Love Field, American at DFW. They have 339 direct flights a day. So 339 between the two airports gives you a lot of options. So my point to that is, depending upon where you're traveling out of, it's going to increase your options for not having to have a layover. The smaller airports, chances are you will have a layover. And that's just part of it. So, you know, you can plan accordingly. So I'm going to pause there for a second, take a breath, a sip of coffee, and then we're going to move into our tickets purchased. We found our flight. We're excited. Now we need to start thinking about packing and what that looks like. So we'll get a sip of coffee here. So packing is more important now than it ever has been because depending upon how many bags you have will depend upon how much you're going to be spending to have those bags travel with you. I tend to fly Southwest and Delta more often than not. Southwest, you have two bags that fly for free. That's been a huge marketing hit for Southwest for years. Most of the major carriers, almost all the major carriers, unless you have status with that airline through a credit card or miles or what have you, you have a fee for that first check bag and then subsequent bags after that. So you want to make sure that you're packing as efficiently as you can. I will tell you right now, I am not the person to talk about efficient, streamlined packing. I'm a heavy packer. I like to travel if I'm gone more than one night. I like to travel with two pillows. I have a little bit of acid reflux that I get to deal with, so I like a wedge pillow. It seems to pick up a little more when I'm on the road, probably because I'm not eating nearly as well. And so I like to have a wedge pillow. I'm not a fan of hotel pillows, personal preference. You may be fine with it. I also travel with probably a few more bags, excuse me, pack a few more clothes than the average person does as well. So you deal with that. With the baggage fees, you can pay for those on the front end if you know. I don't believe there's much of a break, if any, by doing that. It just saves you time when you're checking your bags, that you don't have to deal with that by using your credit card at the airport to do that. You can do it all on the front end. Another consideration when you're checking your bags is the weight of the bag. The weight of the bag will add significantly to the cost. The overweight costs are very expensive. And so in some cases, you're not only paying so much for the bag, but then you're paying an overweight bag fee as well. I would encourage you, invest less than $10. Go to Amazon and get a luggage scale, and you can get a really good sense of the weight of that bag. They're pretty accurate. So that gives you a sense of how much that bag's going to weigh, so there's no surprises when you get to the airport. If you're one of those folks that carries on, or you want to carry on, make sure you check on the dimensions of the bag. The TSA outlines that very clearly on how big that bag can be, as do the airlines, because they will check that bag for you if it does not fit in the overhead compartment. So you don't want to be that person who holds up the flight by trying to jam your bag into a spot where it doesn't fit, because it's bigger than it should be. So think about that aspect. So we're packed, and now we need to get to the airport. If you don't travel a lot, that can be a little stressful because there's a lot of options, and it too can be a little bit expensive. My advice to you is do some research. Talk to someone who travels to the airport frequently. Look online. A lot of different options there for all kinds of budgets. Everything from valet parking at the terminal. Not every airport offers that, but many do. All the way down to, well, having a friend or neighbor take you to the airport and pick you up, which is the most cost efficient. That's probably just going to cost you a breakfast or something like that, so not too bad. But look at those prices and see what makes sense. One thing you should factor in, people don't think about it often, if you're returning and it's late and you're parked in a satellite parking lot that's not covered, and the weather's been bad, and you're tired, and you're arriving at 11, 1130 at night, you may have to clear snow off your car and all that. So just think about those different factors as you're planning your trip. And again, a lot of different options out there to make sure you have a smooth trip and a relaxing trip. You don't want to end it on a bad note by having to, like we had in Kansas City a week ago, trying to get a foot of snow off your car in the satellite parking lot at 11:30 at night. Not a lot of fun for anybody there. So we've kind of moved through all this. We're now to the point to where we're heading into the airport. If we have a carry-on only, we're heading right to security. But if not, then we need to check our bags and get our boarding pass in some cases. And let's talk about the boarding pass for a minute. Most airlines allow you to retrieve your boarding pass 24 hours before departure. You will find a lot of people will download the boarding pass on their phone or on their watch. Excuse me. I don't want to hit pause again because I'm afraid I'm going to stop recording. And they will have the boarding pass electronically. Some people will retrieve them at one of the many kiosks they have at the ticket counter. You can do that, or even a ticket agent can print a boarding pass out for you. I think you can still print them at home on your printer. I don't know anyone who does. There's my dog, by the way. I told you we'd have dogs barking from time to time. Episode 2 is as far as we made it with the dogs howling and barking. But anyway, so you want to make sure you have your boarding pass. You'll need that to get through security. And I would say probably 50% of the people have it electronically. 50% still have a paper boarding pass that they get. So your option. At any rate, so you're checking your bag. When you check in at the ticket counter, typically most airlines have a kiosk now that you leverage. And you are able to, in some cases, scan your driver's license. In other cases, you're entering in your reservation number, a frequent flyer number, all kinds of different ways to identify yourself. But you will then have the opportunity to get your luggage tag. Excuse me for the coughing. The coffee's not keeping it going this morning. And again, I've got to work with my platform to make sure I can pause this appropriately and get this back running. But anyway, so you then take your bag with your luggage tag to the ticket counter. They are going to weigh it. So if you get to your kiosk and you think you're cheating the system because there's not a scale there, rest assured that they will put it on the scale. You'll show your ID and then they'll get your bag going and you'll then head over to security. Now, if what I just said sends you into a little panic, there are airline staff available out at the kiosks. If you run into problems, they're there to help, and they'll kind of guide you through the process. Probably the last, I don't know how many number of flights I've taken, there has not been an occasion where I've not seen a staff member out there helping folks through that process. So don't worry about that. So moving over to security. We've checked our bag. We have just our carry-on bag. One personal item and one carry-on is what most airlines allow. Essentially two things is what you're able to bring on per person. I personally like to get to the airport an hour before my flight departs. For some people, it's an hour and a half before their flight departs. I have a good friend of mine. He likes to get to the airport an hour before boarding takes place. You're going to find that sweet spot. If you don't travel often, allow yourself more time. You can always go grab a coffee or pick up a magazine on the other side of security, but there's too many unknowns. The biggest unknown is, how long is that security line going to be? If you don't travel often, chances are you do not have TSA PreCheck, which is expedited security clearance. You don't have CLEAR, which is a private expedited security clearance. So you're going through the normal TSA security checkpoint where you're going to need to remove your shoes. You're going to need to take your laptop out of your bag, all that. That process takes a little bit longer. So my advice is allow for extra time to do that. If you're traveling during the holidays, allow even more time to do that. When you get to the front of the security line, I have found almost every airport's a little different. Some airports, you will scan your boarding pass, and then you'll show them your ID. For some, your ID is all they will look at, and then they'll just take a physical look at your boarding pass. It varies. Be prepared for any and all in the process. Beginning on May 7th, 2025, Real ID will become something that is enacted, and it will be something that has to be met. You will need the Real ID designation on your driver's license. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm going to encourage you to go to dhs.gov/realid. Folks, May 7th is not that far away, so I encourage you to, you can use a passport as well to get through security, but I encourage you to get that Real ID designation. And my guess is the month of April is going to be an unbelievably busy time with people going to get their driver's licenses renewed with that Real ID designation. So I encourage you to go sooner. I'm actually going to go here in the next couple of weeks and get mine. So I'll report back what that process was like. But I also have a passport, but I do want that Real ID designation. So again, that's May 7th, 2025 is when you'll need to have that. So we have now gotten through security, and we're ready to head to the gate. And, you know, I want to leave you with this. And I think it's really important because I've been traveling a long time. We see all kinds of stories in the news, about, people getting in arguments and screaming at airline staff. Folks, you have to be patient when you travel. It is something that as soon as you step into that airport, you almost have to relinquish control to a certain extent because what's happening is out of your hands. Yes, you need to be diligent. Yes, you need to be aware, but you're not flying the plane. You're not in charge of security. You need to kind of roll with the flow and be patient. Ticket agents and gate agents don't make the rules. Many of those are dictated by the Department of Transportation or airline executives. Also, I have never in my life met an airline employee that can do a thing about the weather. So issues are going to come up when you're traveling, and you just need to be patient and work with them on a solution. Don't come in yelling and screaming. That's not going to help anyone. Work on a solution. The other thing is airline staff, specifically ticket agents and gate agents, they are the last people that want a mechanical delay. So, you know, again, work with them on a solution if it gets to the point where you need to make alternate plans. It's really important to just kind of have that mindset when you go in. The other piece I failed to mention, I do want to mention this, I think it's important. The airlines have a certain criteria for how long a layover should be. Personally, I don't book a flight if it has a layover of less than an hour. The reason for that is too much can happen, and I want that wiggle room. I think a 40-minute, 35-minute layover is too short and could really put you in a bind. You may be okay, but I think especially for those travelers that aren't road warriors, I would not recommend that. I would recommend having at least an hour layover. And if you're traveling internationally, coming back into the country, I would actually allow for even more time than that. But we'll cover that full piece in another episode. So anyway, that ends the content for today's episode. Next time, we're going to talk about what's going on in the airport, getting on the plane, all that good stuff that you want to consider and think about. I'll even have some fun stories and maybe some not so fun stories, but some stories in the mix there. With that, I promised in episode One, that I would have some industry news. I do want to share two quick stories that I think you'll find interesting. The first one is JetBlue was fined by the Department of Transportation for chronic late arrivals. And that is something that no airline wants to have to deal with. $2 million was the fee. And $1 million of those dollars are going to passengers who are affected by that. Another $1 million is going straight to the Treasury Department. Not sure where those dollars are going. But, you know, the federal government has been saying they're cracking down on these airlines if they're having chronic late arrivals. And this is just one of what I'm sure will be many examples of that. The second story I want to share is a report was just issued last week on the most punctual airlines. Now, this was worldwide. Two airlines made the top 10 that are U.S.-based carriers. The Delta was number 3, and United was number 10. So we ended up with two airlines in the top 10. There go the dogs again. Good heavens. At any rate, with that, I'm going to leave it at that. I encourage you to email me with any questions to talesfromtheair@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your feedback. If you want to complain about the dogs howling, that's fine. But I really want to hear your feedback. So glad you tuned in. This is so much fun for me, and we are going to send this thing home with Mr. Dwight Yoakam. Dwight, take it away. She drove southbound 95 straight through Kansas.